never got to Mount A's top, just made the counterclockwise passage around the mountain's base. The dog finding all the maples and boulders and looping up and down the trail like a sewing needle. Even though we were pretty low, we found the overlook. How strange the word overlook, which means to miss entirely, to pass without a glance. But there I looked north through trees toward the whites, sky unfolding into the spine of something great and rhymed.
Welcome to the 13th episode of Rice Pudding Poetry, a project of the Rice Public Library in Kittery, Maine. You just heard a section of poet Jen Ryan Onken's Ring Trail, read by Mike Lee, one of 10 community readers on this show. I'm your host, Kimberly Green, and I'm so glad you've tuned in. The theme of our show is summertime, sweet season of the open air. We imagine you're listening as you take an early morning walk or sit under a blue umbrella by the shore or sip pink lemonade on your front stoop as the day-long heat begins to dissipate in the cool of the evening. Tony Hoagland's evocative poem, Summer in a Small Town, captures for me the playful spirit of this sultry season. The last part of it goes this way. All August, the Ferris wheel will turn in the little amusement park, and screaming teenage girls will jump into the river with their clothes on, right next to the no swimming sign. Trying to cool the heat inside the small towns of their bodies, for which they have no words. Obedient to the voice inside which tells them, now, steal pleasure. Heard I Promise I'm Not Fooling, composed by our guest musician David Groff of Kittery Point. A longtime fingerstyle guitar player, Dave gigs regularly with numerous artists in the Washington, D.C. and Seacoast areas. On this show, Dave's accompanied by bass player Doug Green. With the exception of a traditional tune, all the music you hear on this show was composed by Dave. Rice Pudding wouldn't be Rice Pudding without community readers. These are women and men who don't necessarily identify as poets themselves, though some of them are. And over the past few years, I've learned they prepare for the show by reading their selections many times over, listening for the voice, mood, and rhythm of the lines. And of course, we hear this in their sensitive, spirited readings. We're grateful to welcome to this episode Sally Hirschberg, Rebecca Hennessy, Betty Olivolo, Joanne Connolly, Jim White, Mary Pat Kingsbury, Matthew Cloutier, Linda Cheatham, Mike Lee, and Agnes Charlesworth. They bring you summer poems written by current Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Connecticut poets, and we'll kick things off with a tune called 8 Degrees by David Groff.
Welcome. I'm Sally Hirschberg, and I'm reading two poems for you. The first, called Blooms of Time, is by Connecticut poet Dale Lombardi. Blooms of Time. They say that time is a swiftly moving river, rushing faster each day, sweeping us farther and farther downstream. But for me, time is more like an ever-deepening pool, a pool that holds all of ever, every bit of fallen light and every bit of ash turned clear, a pool so endless and pure that nothing is lost and our whole inheritance can be reflected back. So when at night I'm broken and the ache in me runs free, I can go to those waters where starlight floats on bygone days, and breezes dance on bygone loves, and the one moon waits on ripples of silk, calling light unto light, until blooms of time rise up from the depths in a luminous flowering of gossamer ghosts that lift and drift and bob and roll, but never break the surface. The second poem I give you is called The Crown by New Hampshire poet Aaron Lee. The crown. The garden's in blossom suddenly. Winds may ravage and blow it to bits, blasting the crowns of grouped fruit trees. A luscious display of assorted leaves, shades of pinks and violets, never quit. The garden blooms out quite suddenly. The lilacs lure me outside early. Clusters, bent to my face, a perfect fit. Tall bushes whose crowns top fruit trees. As sun draws in her golden light, I see asparagus outstrip upright tulips. The whole garden blooms so suddenly. I worship plants as birds sing for me, as feathered creatures whirl and flip in crowns of waving tree families. Swelling of my heart surprises me. My dreams of life's blessings, generative, free, elevated to the heights of spring's trip. Let's share this intense positivity.
I'm Rebecca Hennessy, and I'm reading two poems by New Hampshire poet Jody Hetherington. Reverberance. Listen to those who live in the house of August, unfolded by compound heat. They have only one thing to say, over and over, in letters strident with speed, summer humming in the hollows of themselves. Over and over, swelling and subsiding, summer saying, with whole rooms between. Rooms of ours big enough to hold the barefoot burning beckon of tarry roads. Over and over, days of rooms with open windows, hammock swayed with time. Hollow rooms between their wings, where the sound swells and sings. Sonorous summer rooms where you will never sleep, heart swung, symphonic. No need to seek them out in their bark blended vanishment. You will not see them for what they are, more air than insect. Ungainly chambers for song, soon gone underground for years of sleep. Summer Haiku Suite. 1. Look, there's one of your should-haves riding away on a red bicycle. 2. In a cul-de-sac, wind with time to spare spins an upended bike wheel. 3. You're dreaming a dream like two spoked wheels awaiting a clown and a horn. 4. Just say bicycle. Exactly what can you take seriously now?
I'm Betty Olivolo, and I will read two poems by New Hampshire poet Marnie Cobbs. The first is called Early Morning. I used to be a morning person, and this poem reminds me how lovely it is. Early Morning. The robin lands on the rock in a light leap from below, pauses, then runs across wet grass as if poured. Not at all like the jay who sits on a garden post, upright, heart a little forward. I see how the robin is. Full of life, divine in its own way of being. Not me who watches, but this shows me how to imagine my own beauty. The second poem helps me share my love of nature. It's called We, Cherished by Air, Cherish Back. Morning air on my skin wakens me, whispers, another summer day. Downstairs, I open doors, shut against a bedtime downpour. I stand, close my eyes, stretch and bend in my little routine, open to all out of doors. Midday, the leaves rustle as heat weaves its own weather. Summer, so full in its own belly, neither reminiscent of spring or tinged with fall. Just now, just so. At dusk, we walk the yard, aimless. Our friend is about to leave for her home. The moon has yet to rise. We linger under a sky hung with mist close in, packed with clouds to the west. Overhead, we look into forever.
I'm Joanne Connolly, and today I would like to read two poems by New Hampshire poet Christina H. Felix. When your daughter asks you how to kiss. When your daughter asks you how to kiss, tell her it is more music than lyrics. Think only of the feelings you want to express. Remind her how the sound of the cello opens a space for a bird to fly in swift circles. We must close our eyes and keep that lovely bird from escaping. Lilac saplings. Possibly 3 years ago, we transplanted a light pink peony from your yard into my flower garden. We swelled inside one impetuous gardening swoop of idyllic love merge-making. That first spring, the peony's long neck remained thin, yet her roots held. Hopeful, she spread toward the Shasta daisies, the hollyhocks. Another year of readying, we excavated two lilac saplings, one plum wine-colored, one wishful white. I buried them in a raised bed on the advice of a master gardener. For longevity, lilac saplings need shelter, a transitional home before being planted where you want them for life. The next spring, tentative still, the lilacs survive in their wooden box, wait for their forever soil. Tender for us, small spring leaves, wound buds, a rare perfumed flower.
I'm Jim White of Kittery Point, and I'm going to read two poems by New Hampshire poet Mary Anker. The first, Spring to Summer. Celebrate, with bare arms, necks, and heads unwrapped. Free to feel it, a breeze, warm enough to shake the chill off. Not snowbirds, we love our deserted city. Ice, wind, and all. We like awaiting that one moment that comes without prediction, a shift away from the fireplace toward opening windows. Light turns warm, warmer, lasts and lasts, invites us to stay awake, take a walk, linger, complain about the heat, clink cold drinks, dine on the sidewalk, fall asleep on the beach, shed the fleece. Celebrate alive with possibility. Summer only feels like this once a year and briefly. Like the first taste of anything delicious. Dwell here, because another kind of alive, cozy under wool, comes back fast, along with a fleece. The second poem by Mary Anker is called All Aboard. The crew offers a hand. We board the gundala, the proud Piscataqua. With due respect to its ancestors and daytime mission, we head out on a June evening entertainment cruise. Portsmouth weather shows off, sun warm in the light wind, sky all blues and lilac. Revelry jams the decks, puts us in a feisty mood. We leave them grounded, laughing and waving. We tack into the wind, anticipating the Atlantic. Kent Allen and Joyce Anderson sing and fiddle us east and west. We dance with the crew, do-si-doing, swinging our partners. Singing to the past, to our loves here and gone, to our city, our river, our home.
I am Mary Pat Kingsbury. Here are two poems by New Hampshire poet Grace Mattern. We watched. We watched as the first few minnows flowed in a thin line that soon thickened until the stripe of slender bodies was a foot across, a single stream wavering through shade of lakeshore trees, skirting into darkness under the dock, parting to swirl around rocks, poking out of shallows, to merge again into a river so long and constant, my grandson and I couldn't begin to count the mass, swimming west as if toward an answer. This season. A stone kicks up as I walk, lands as a heart. I turn on a trail that cuts into woods, looking for quiet, the quiet of wandering on a path packed by deer hooves. Pushing through brush, I find myself back at the road and recognize my hope. This is the season bluebirds flock in the village, chipping at feeders, twitching in shrubs, flicking over the iron fence of the cemetery across from the hayfield. Yesterday, 8 perched on the edge of the barn roof gutter, plump and rust-breasted, backs and wings a sky any of us would be happy to wear.
Hello, my name is Matthew Cloutier, and I'll be reading two poems by the New Hampshire poet, Sam DeFlitch. The first was originally published in the Missouri Review. To Lead a Pig Skyward. I read a pig can't look up, that you've got to gently tilt their heads back if they're going to take in the night skies. I never let a pig skyward late at night in Pennsylvania. Earthbound is probably better. We all start getting ideas when we look up. And the pigs, they always seem so pleased where they were, rooting in soft earth. No need to look up for God when the holy was there. Beneath their trotters cool, below the autumn archer that was rising lightly on the eastern horizon. should we return to each other in ordinary time? If they survive their first winter, low odds, rigged deck, many migratory songbirds return to the same feeder each year. Dark-eyed juncos are like that, seeking out their wintering spot, say, these sour gum branches. Ground feeders, like the dog when I'm cooking, they'll reconvene over spilled bits of millet, sunflower seed, cracked corn. I imagine they know what's coming. The parting, the return. It's like that when we pack our basket, roll our blankets into loose bundles on the shore of the sea. 1 year from now, should we both survive migration and habitat loss, avoid collisions with building glass, and find enough seed and dark sky to navigate home, we'll return to each other. You'll wear a band on your right leg, maybe, and I'll tell you about my close run-in with a house cat. These things happen. Meet me at the clock tower, we'll say. Meet me at the church. We'll be there until we're not. Like all great loves, we're both the flock of the congregate birds making a ruckus at the feeder. And the old woman in the window, desperate to understand.
I'm Linda Cheatham, and I'm reading a set of five poems by New Hampshire poet Mimi White. These are tanka, a Japanese form of short poem consisting of five lines. I'll read them with a brief pause after each tanka. Dear people on the island, the note in purple ink began. Dear Dory, we miss you too. The yellow room looks empty. William sings in the hammock, sings while chasing the dogs. Everywhere he goes, he brings his song. Dear one that I love, alone in a tent under so many stars, surely this must be a benevolent universe. What of ourselves do old friends bring to our porch? Midsummer, the sky darkening. This late September swim, floating between islands, cold water cradling my skull, a tenderness I had not expected.
My name's Michael Lee. I'm going to be reading two poems by Maine poet Jen Ryan Onken. The first is called Black Oil. Black oil. More than the tiny splinter you brought me, it was the goldfinch that surprised me. No business among the dead hydrangea blooms and old leaves. Your warm thumb. The tweezers, no good. I scraped out the little shard you'd snagged on the seed box, the goldfinch blooming itself right out. Yellow, yellow, yellow. The second poem, also by Jen Ryan Onken, is called Ring Trail. Ring Trail. This morning you opened your wingspan and pulled me in, out the kitchen window and into the yard. I said, "Did we figure out the rides to baseball practice?" And you said, "Yes." My chin rested on your shoulder. I looked at the trees. Then it was over. I never got to Mount A's top, just made the counterclockwise passage around the mountain's base. The dog finding all the maples and boulders and looping up and down the trail like a sewing needle. Even though we were pretty low, we found the overlook. How strange the word overlook, which means to miss entirely, to pass without a glance. But there I looked north through trees toward the whites, sky unfolding into the spine of something great and rhymed.
Hello, my name is Agnes Charlesworth, and I'll be reading two poems by the Vermont poet April Osman. Both poems will be published in her book, We, in July 2025, by Red Hen Press. What is metaphor for? For an hour, metaphor is a shovel I dig fertile soil with, discarding rocks and clinging roots I sever and remove, like lies I'm weary of but can't dispose of, shifting them to fill another hollow or indentation my imagination's deemed unsightly, disturbing a brown toad who hops realistically away as I alter the shape of another gardening station whose reality I plan to level. I keep digging, thinking I'll find truth, and have no further use for stories. But truth is the hole I've dug, the hole I've determined the depth of, the hole I'm free to grow an imagined reality in. And this second poem is Epithalamium. While the resident doe and fawn dine on our green field, to which they may have greater claim, I hear with my chest, then feet, the morning train's whistle moaning through the river's fog, like a new love I should greet, like a bell tolling for me to attend some unknown sacrament, the bass rumble of each passing car vibrating my cello from head to toes, strumming each taut string with ineffable meaning, calling me to go I know not where, to leave a multitude of beauties I would not abandon,
not least the hour of these blessed hours. Not just the house and ground, but the home I know wherever you are.
Thank you, Dave, for your closing number, Dreaming of You, for your rendition of the traditional tune, Poor Wayfaring Stranger, at the top of the poetry reading, and for your waltzing with Catherine, a favorite of mine, in the middle of the program. Thank you, too, to bass accompanist Doug Green. You can hear more of Dave and Doug, who, together with drummer Peter Braddock, make up the jazz trio Sea Smoke, by going to seasmoketrio.com. My warm and abundant gratitude to the New England area poets who have shared their summer poems with us, all our writers whose work is published in literary magazines and collections, including Dale Lombardi, author of Cloud and Bone by Finishing Line Press, Erin Lee, whose poems have appeared most recently in Hole in the Head Review and Word Piece, Jody Hetherington, author of On the Edge of No Answer by Bowen Publishing, Marnie Cobbs, author of In the Company of Travelers by Uphill House, Christina H. Felix, whose poems have appeared most recently in Calyx and the Café Review, Mary Anker, author of An Unlikely Conversation, Grace Mattern, author of The Truth About Death by Turning Point Books, Samantha DeFlitch, author of Confluence by Broadstone Books, Mimi White, author of The Ark Remains by Deerbrook Editions, Jen Ryan Onken, who is published in a variety of literary magazines and was a finalist for the 2022 Maine Chapbook Series, and April Osman, whose book We is forthcoming from Red Hen Press. We're so grateful to all the good people at Rice Public Library for program support, as well as for crucial funding for the artists. Thank you to sound engineer Doug Green and to graphic designer Sophie Green. Our theme music is Pussyhat, composed by Kent Allen and Joyce Anderson. Please plan to join us for the next Rice Pudding Poetry event
a live show that will be staged at the library in the new community room on October 19th. This show will be hosted by Rebecca Hennessy, and our special guest will be Maine poet Megan Sterling. Beautiful music, gifted community readers, and Greta Evans' homemade cookies will make us all feel right at home. I'm Kimberly Green, and I'm so grateful you've joined us. Take good care, each and all. And may summer's wide blue skies and deep green forests refresh and restore you, body and soul. Bye for now.